November 17th, 2015. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. You and I, we went to Elgin and we sat in a bar and watched Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, how exciting was that?
I drag you to all this geeky stuff and it's great.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I mean, at least it's quality. We know it's going to be funny, and we know it's going to be quality.
Yeah, you should drag me to one of your conventions.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. We're going to a sporting convention. We're going to watch sports.
This man bounces the ball. Oh. That's probably exactly how you feel when I drag you to this stuff. Like, okay, so Mike Nelson, and you're like, okay, yeah, all right, you got it? Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week, and you sat down and watched the Glenn Campbell movie, I'll Be Me.
I did. I sat down and watched it. I watched it with my wife, and my wife sat there and cried almost the entire thing.
Wow, you actually found one that she actually enjoyed with you.
That's right. You could tell she has a heart. I, of course, did not, so I have no heart. But no, we watched this film. This is about Glenn Campbell, about his final tour. He has Alzheimer's. So if you're not familiar with this disease, especially your mind, you start forgetting things, and that's the first sign that it could be coming on. Eventually, you start forgetting the people around you, who they are, and connections. There's some drug therapy. You get to learn a little bit about what early people get to do. You get interviews with his doctor and stuff like that. But the big thrust of this is that his family, who are part of his touring band now with a few other people, they decide they're going to take Dad out on a tour because he wants to go on tour. And the one thing that connects him is music, that he unconsciously can sing and play and things of that nature.
Those things are so deeply embedded.
With a teleprompter, by the way. Because the teleprompter went out one time and he couldn't remember the lyrics, and
they had to
bring it back up. This is a very touching film. The audience is part of this also because they are very, very accepting that he was one of the big guys from the 60s and the 70s and 80s. John Denver, Donnie Marie, I mean, you name Bee Gees. You really understand the pull that he has, and I can tell you that my wife's mother really, really liked The Rhinestone Cowboy.
There you go.
So this is a very, very good film. You will learn a lot about the disease. You'll learn a lot about Glenn Campbell. He is a very genuinely nice person. You can tell his kids are they're a good family. He was traveling all the time when they were young or busy with work, so they have a connection. You can also realize how frustrating it is because there are times when he's being filmed and he's very angry. And I work with some people who have this disease and Parkinson's and all sorts of things. And the most frustrating part of this is that you had this ability to communicate at one time and then it's just not connecting. And he eventually had to stop touring because it just got really bad. So anyway, highly recommended. This is a very good film.
I didn't ask you, what format did you watch this in? How did you get this one?
Netflix, the Blu-ray. Blu-ray came out.
Blu-ray. Okay, so you're still sticking with the Netflix and them sending you plastic discs.
I do. But, I mean, I'm watching things differently. Like, I have, what is the film with Helen Mirren that has the about the art that was stolen during the World War II. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I have that film set up through iTunes. It was 99 cents as far as a rental. I have the Blu-rays that come in the mail, and then I'll catch a movie here or there through streaming. My kids basically watch the streaming most of the time. My time is limited on what I can watch, and so I typically run those are my three formats that I'll run through. But this movie is not available for streaming yet.
Okay. Also not available for streaming, opening on Friday, is The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2. This is going to be the biggest film of the year.
If Star Wars didn't come out,
for
right?
For about 30 days until Star Wars comes out.
This is really, what's interesting about it is Part 1 came out last holiday season, mm-hmm. Christmas season. And then we get part two a year later. I think that delay is way too long. I would really like them to rethink that, because I saw part one maybe a month ago.
And I didn't.
I have watched all of them.
I didn't.
I've read the first book.
I didn't.
It's a youth book. It's for youth.
And there's nothing wrong with a youth book. I mean, yeah. we reviewed Lost. I reviewed Lost Stars a few weeks ago, and you started reading it. That's a youth book, but sure. It's a good youth book.
And in fact, I've enjoyed it so far. Mm-hmm. I'll finish that up probably this weekend. But as far as this movie is, I'm kind of glad it's getting ready to end. Very similar to The Hobbit.
That is not a good review. I'm glad it's getting ready to end.
Well, it's all capable. I mean, it's a very, you know, the story is done very well as far as the presentation of it. I like the actors in it. This resonates really well with some kids, I guess. Mm-hmm. For adults, you know, they go wrong, and they certainly are not going to not like it. It's capable of delivering. It just seems so, you know, I watched the first three, and am I really going to watch a fourth? Okay, I won't go to the theater and see it. I'll see it when it first comes out on streaming or something.
But are your girls going to this on opening weekend?
My oldest, who is 14, excuse me, had no desire to read the story, and had no desire to watch the movies. Hmm. She liked Divergent, but this had no interest to her, which is strange. I mean,
that is strange.
This was a very hot book for that group of that age group.
My students at the middle school level are very much into the Hunger Games. I can mm-hmm. I can make a Hunger Games reference anytime, and they know that story very well. It's definitely built for them.
Okay. Well, this should, if you have a family and their kids are interested, there's no doubt it'll be very capable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably my 13-year-old son will probably go to the movie theater to watch this, but probably with a group of girls.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably how that one will work. Speaking of how movies work, you found a movie called Carol. This is set in the 1950s New York, and it's about two ladies who fall in love.
Well, yeah, one of them's married. This is a grown-up film. This has got Cate Blanchett in it. So nice. Kate usually picks out good scripts to work mm-hmm. with. And when I was looking through all the movies that were coming out this week, this one caught my attention. This is something I'm very interested in seeing. I probably won't see it at the theater.
Yeah, this is probably one of those Oscar-nominated kind of films that we're probably going to hear about come January.
Sure. If Cate Blanchett picked it out as a script, there's something there that probably is worthy of watching. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you know your actors and actor, then you feel comfortable sometimes that they pick something that may not be the thing that you were looking for.
Oh, yeah. I have picked a movie to watch based on the actors many times
mm-hmm.
because I believe in their choices. And Cate Blanchett is certainly one of those people that I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, forget about movies. I'm not going to the movies because on Friday, Jessica Jones is coming out on Netflix. All 13 episodes of the next Marvel show are going to be in my hands on Friday, and I'm just going to watch them. The Daredevil series last year was so good. Mm-hmm. I have very high expectations for Jessica Jones.
I do too. This will be streaming on Netflix. This is going to be a very hot series to watch. Daredevil, which is a Marvel comic creation,
mm-hmm.
and they were able to do Murdoch and Nelson as far as the attorneys, and they really had a great story, sort of
so good
fighting the Kingpin and the Kingpin's character.
And he was so good. Vincent D'Onofrio was so good as the Kingpin.
You know, for all intents and purposes, that was a 13-hour, very well-to-go arch of a story. It's set up for the next series that will be coming out. But this is the interesting part with Netflix and these Marvel characters, that they have created Hell's Kitchen is where this takes place in New York. And they've created these series to really interact with each other. All right, so we have the Hulk, and we have Spider-Man, and they have all these great powers. What if you are a person that got powers, but they certainly didn't work that well. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment with the greatest American hero, sure. One of my favorite superheroes.
Well, that's Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. She has a power. It kind of doesn't work the way she wants it to. So she becomes a private investigator. She sets her office right across the hall from Nelson and Murdoch. So we're going to have Luke Cage, which could be a love interest, which was
that's
was part
the
of the
storyline in the book. So mm-hmm. Theoretically, we're going to see that in this series, but we might not see that in this series.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Well, this is based off a comic by a writer called Brian Michael Bendis. Brian Michael Bendis is part of a group of people that were consultants for Marvel on the Marvel movies that were released, Iron Man and the Avengers. But they ensured the continuity was there, that the characters were kind of true to what they were to be, and also, you know, maybe modern updates and stuff like that. Well, they're in control of these Netflix series. So this Jessica Jones, Daredevil, I think there's another one, Defenders will eventually come out.
Right.
They're going to be in charge of those. Bendis is known for writing noir. So, you know, shadowy, private investigator.
I'm all in. I am all in. When you said private investigator, I am all in. I love the Maltese Falcon. Mm-hmm. I love Dashiell Hammett and all of those private eye stories that we've had since. Magnum PI was amazing. I love the story of a crime fighter who's not a police officer, who's outside of that realm and has different rules. This is right up my alley.
Well, I think this is going to play real well. In fact, if it's anything like what the Daredevil series was, people are going to leave, and they're going to really, really enjoy this. Highly recommend that you at least check out the first episode to see if it's your taste. I know I will be. In this 13 episodes.
Yeah.
Who knows? Will you get through it during the weekend?
Yes. Yes, I will. And if you haven't gotten the Daredevil, if you haven't watched the 13 hours of Daredevil that came out last year, I really highly recommend going back to that. It is so cinematic. Mm-hmm. The fight scenes, there's three strong fight scenes in the 13 hours, and the characters are so amazing. The colors and the sounds, I've very high expectations for Jessica Jones.
Well, if you have interest in this character, you can read the Bendix book. If you're not put off by the graphic novel or comic presentation, there's cursing in it. She's a hard drinking person.
Yeah.
She is certainly not the most likable person there.
Yeah.
Highly recommended. If it's something that is of interest to you, if you purchase it through Amazon, you can do that through there too.
We'll have the link in our show notes, and yeah, you can buy it through our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com, and support the show while you're enjoying Alias, the Jessica Jones comic. Brings us to our appetite, our app of the week, and this week there's a new app. It's called YouTube Music.
I'm familiar with YouTube.
And a lot of my students and a lot of kids use YouTube as their music. And YouTube, being a Google company, knows that because they know what you do. And they launched their own music app. This is a competitor to Spotify and Apple Music and Pandora, and it's
sure.
Very interesting.
Well, in fact, you were showing me the app. You've been using it some, and it seems like it's using a lot of the Vivo videos.
Correct.
I have the YouTube app, and I have put together playlists of music that, you know, maybe something that's not through iTunes or there's not an MP3 for. You know, there's a whole world of music out there that was recorded that was never put together on digital music.
And our students and our kids have found that world.
Okay. And also a lot of the new music coming out is not going to be on a label. But anyway, what I've done is I put together playlists. I find a group of songs that I like or covers that I like, and I put them together and I press play. Well, I can do that, but if I leave that app to go to another app, it immediately shuts off.
Or if you turn your phone off, it shuts off.
Sure. But what you're showing me through this YouTube Music app is that, let's just say that I wanted to check my email while playing my playlist. I could do that, and the music will continue to play. Mm-hmm.
It plays in the background, just like all of those other music apps. Mm-hmm. The one thing that bothered me about it so far, using it for a few days, is that it's pulling all of those videos that somebody put onto the internet. Maybe it was the original artist, maybe it was the record company, but maybe it wasn't. And some people have added things to the beginning and end of some of those videos. Okay. And when I'm listening to it, I'm getting extra sound that's not the song sometimes.
You're saying that that bothers you because the dead air or whatever the intro is.
It's the extra noise because I'm not watching the video. Mm-hmm. There is a mode on there for just audio, so I'm not pulling the video because I'm not actively watching the video.
Sure.
So I'm getting this extra sound that I can't really identify. I don't know what it is.
Well, one of the things that I would ask the YouTube music app to look at is, you know, when you go to and you press a YouTube video, the sound could be high, it could be low. Mm-hmm. The recording quality may not be very good. If it's coming from Vivo, that's coming from either the artist or from the record company. Mm-hmm. So chances are you're going to get a good recording there. Well, you know, a lot of stuff on YouTube is not the best recording. You know, there's a lot of videos out there that's a person with an old 45, they put it on the record player and they're playing it because there isn't a copy of it. And sometimes, you know, you got pops in it, or maybe the sound is too low, or any type of other stuff that mm-hmm. could pop up through it. So if you got the part of it without ads, which
YouTube Red,
okay, that's $10 a month.
$10 a month for YouTube Red to get out all of the ads. And I signed up for this YouTube Music this week because mm-hmm. it came out, and it came with a free 2-week trial of YouTube Red. So I haven't had any ads in my experience with YouTube Music yet.
That'll be interesting because I've noticed with YouTube right now, we go in between the 15-second ads that, you know, at some point you can skip them, and then there's a lot of hard ads. They're 30 seconds, and there is no way to skip them to move forward. Mm-hmm. That's a really tough thing to go in between, especially if you're watching something that's 30 seconds long mm-hmm. or less. Music usually a couple minutes long, but it's still that doesn't work for a pleasant viewing experience,
which is why they offer YouTube Red, so that you can give them $10 a month to have a pleasant experience.
Unless we all start moving over to other alternatives.
Exactly. I don't use YouTube as much as you do, and I don't use it nearly as much as my students and my kids do.
Well, on our Facebook page, when I do a video, I typically link YouTube's version of it versus the Facebook version. The Facebook version is hit or miss sometimes on plays. Mm-hmm. Also is much more difficult to link in some level. Mm-hmm. But you know, you never know how Facebook could change that too.
Yeah.
But Vimeo or any of the other services that could pop up because of this, you know, it could be just as easy to link their videos to.
So give it a try. YouTube Music, it has an app. You can get it for an Android. You can get it for iOS. Give it a try. If you are not a Red subscriber, then you can get 14-day trial for YouTube Red. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't replaced Pandora in my life.
Well, going back, if you want to put together a Christmas music list of music that you want as specific songs, mm-hmm. you can put together a playlist in YouTube. Highly recommended. Very, very good.
I don't do that. I'm not a mixtape kind of guy. I'm more of a Pandora. I put in the Hanukkah song, and I make it make me a list from the Music Genome Project. Make my Hanukkah list. Brings us to our book. It our book of the week, and boy, Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
We're the build up for Star Wars seems to have lost a little bit of its momentum, hasn't it?
I don't think so. I think you're not looking in the right corners.
Yeah, the build up is pretty incredible. I mean, as far as everywhere. If you're reading a newspaper, if you're looking on the web, there's always a story. You know, Princess Leia had lunch today. Mm-hmm. Well, there seems to be a story about that.
Today we're going to talk about Star Wars Shattered Empire. This is a graphic novel, a comic book, and it's part of that Journey to Star Wars The Force Awakens series that we started talking about with Lost Stars a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And this one is very similar.
It is. All right, so with the Lost Stars, it was a book written for youths. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Disney is very conscious of who the market is for Star Wars. Now, this is also Disney also owns Marvel. Mm-hmm. So Star Wars, now their comics now come through Marvel.
On the cover of this one, you have both the Disney logo and the Marvel logo.
Okay, I read this because one, I'm now, unlike you, I can sleep, but the build-up is there, and I saw this, and I said, oh, it builds up to the Star Wars film. I should probably read this.
But I almost avoided this one because I don't want to get a lot of the story before I get to the movie. I did read it because you recommended it, and I did see that it's not exactly a prelude.
Okay. Well, it takes place right after Return of the Jedi. So the second Death Star has been blown up. There's still pockets in the Empire that are kind of holding out. Mm-hmm. And what can they do? And what we, well, let's go ahead and just break out the story a little bit. There's only a few plot points. And to be honest, there's a 4-issue miniseries.
Yeah, this is a 4-issue miniseries.
But you, in my opinion, you really only need number 4. I don't think there was anything in 1 through 3 that made it so compelling that you had to read it.
I don't know. We don't know what we're headed into with The Force Awakens. Maybe there's some nuggets in those first 3.
Well, the first thing that you learn is after Palpatine's death, the evil Empire, that he sets out a basically some a code that goes out to the other people who were part of the Empire. Setting up some protections, and the war will go on. This would be the equivalent of Hitler died and somehow sent out secret codes, and the war is going on for the Nazis. Well, all right, that's the one plot point that you'll learn. We also are two starring characters, or a husband and wife team. They're both rebels. One fights for one part of the army. The other one fights for the other part of the army. They don't get together very often, but they got together after the war of the blowing up the Death Star, and they both determined, or eventually comes out, that they're going to retire. They've been apart too long. They get to see each other once every 3 or 4 months. What if we just retired, find a planet to live on, and everything's good? But we have to have a little adventure before this. And that's where issue number 4 comes in, and we get Luke Skywalker shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving away all the plot points, not to tear away this story, but I think that, you know, this is basically what we need to know about it. This takes place about 3 months. The fourth issue takes place 3 months after the Return of the Jedi. They're going to go to a planet that's being protected. Luke Skywalker and the wife traveling together. And what they're getting is 2 trees.
Hmm.
And these trees have something to do with the Force.
They are strong with the Force, is the way the book describes it.
Strong with the Force.
Hmm.
You know, if we go back to our Star Wars movies, which are going to be our anchor that we're going to build all the other things we know for, we recognize there's balance in the Force, right?
Mm.
So we have 2 trees.
Balance there is.
And there's 2 trees. And these trees somehow have something to do with the Force.
Mm.
And while there wasn't any mention of midichlorians, but maybe we'll get something.
Maybe.
You never know what it deals with. Ultimately, what ended up happening is they fought. They got these 2 trees. One of them is going to go with Luke Skywalker. He's going to planet where we think we're going to get the new Jedi Temple or whatever the new training facility for. The other one, he does not need. He gives it to the wife, and the wife and the husband take it to wherever they're going to retire, I guess we would say, the planet they are. I think the ending scene is they plant this tree.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we know about the movie that's coming up? It takes place about 30 years after this.
Right.
And there are people showing up who have the Force. So, you know, do they come from this planet where this tree was put down by the husband and wife?
Interesting.
We don't know. We don't know. And then, you know, where does Luke take his tree and plant it? That's the only issue. That's really what the story was about. I don't mean to blow it for everybody.
So nobody has to buy this book because Chip's now told you everything about it. That's okay. It's a 4-issue miniseries. This is a very short piece of the puzzle of what's going to happen in a month when we get to see The Force Awakening.
And we have something coming up in a week or two, and it'll be released in Kindle. So this is through Amazon. And there's going to be 4 or 5 short stories that are going to be released by a writer. Mm. And they're also going to be dealing with the movie that's coming up. So when we're thinking about building up to the Star Wars movie, what do we have? We have the book that you reviewed a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
Lost Stars.
We have The Shattered Empire, the comic book series. Mm-hmm. And then we have these 4 or 5 short stories that are going to be released on Kindle that will eventually come out in a hardback, but they're initially going to be released as these types of books. That's really the stories we have that are going to build up to this movie. If you have interest in getting into it, I'm definitely excited about this movie. And I'm starting...
Me too.
Well, I just... I didn't think... You know, I talked about Mockingjay, like, oh, it's going to be, it's, you know, at least we're going to get the ending of it. I'm looking at this thing, and I'm going, boy, this looks so exciting.
Uh-huh.
And everything kind of, man, they're just playing me like a fiddle, man.
Disney is really good at getting our money. I am very excited about Star Wars. We've had our tickets for a month. We've got another month to wait, and just the buildup is getting amazing.
And we'll see what else they start releasing out there, because all these little tidbits are like, oh, I gotta kind of know this. Mm-hmm. This movie comes out a week before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Sure does. Brings us to our Now the News segment, and speaking of things that are coming out soon, remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked to Trace Ballou from Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Well, you seem to email me all the time and
I
text me.
I talk about it like every day. I tell you about it every day. Look, Chip, Mystery Science Theater 3000. I'm almost as excited about that as I am about Star Wars. Not quite. Remember when I asked Trace on that interview, is there going to be a Mystery Science Theater 3000 reboot? And he said he didn't know. He is no longer a part of that production.
I do remember that.
Well, this week, Joel Hodgson has announced officially he is bringing back Mystery Science Theater 3000.
How exciting is that? They did a Kickstarter, right?
They are in the middle of a Kickstarter. It's open right now. The link is in the show notes. Bring back MysterySciencetheater3000.com and...
It's amazing how it's much amazing money they've been able to collect so much. If we know Kickstarter is an area that you go for to get an affirmation that what you're doing is going to be valuable.
It is crowdfunding. It's a group of normal people saying, yes, I want this thing here. Take my money and make this thing for me.
And the time of this recording, how much have they raised?
They have hit $2 million.
How about that?
It's amazing. In the first, like, 3 days, they hit $2 million. And Joel has said that at $2 million, they can make 3 episodes
sure
of Mystery Science Theater 3000. And if they get more, they can make more episodes.
Well, where this really kind of plays into is think about all those streaming apps that we use, Netflix and Hulu and CBS app.
All the distribution channels.
All right, so... What company, is there a streaming service that may have interest in picking this up?
I think every company would have interest in picking this up. And this is the crowdfunding showing those companies that there is an audience that they should pay money to pick up this show.
Well, I think that what we found is that something is of value. If they're going to bring back these types of shows, this looks like one that is simple to pick up. As far as what I understand about what it costs to produce a television show, this seems very relatively inexpensive.
Yep.
And there's a market for it.
There is a market for it. And that's what the Kickstarter is proving. The thousands of people who have put in their small amount of money saying, I'm in line, give me this material. I am willing to pay you to produce this material, distribute this material, and I might be able to pay you to get it mm-hmm. when it's done.
Very nice.
So I am a backer. I am very excited about Mystery Science Theater 3000 coming back. Like I said, on Saturday, we went to a Mystery Science Theater event, and it was fantastic. Almost as good as Star Wars. Speaking of distribution, Netflix has been dominating the way that we watch movies for a while now.
Particularly for millennials.
Particularly for millennials. And cable companies are so scared of Netflix that they're actually
It's starting to impact them, right?
Yeah, they're showing fewer ads.
What they've determined, obviously, is that we've been, the young people, have been trained to watch shows without these breaks in them. And because they have that, they demand to be able to watch them without that. And one of the things that turns off people watching cable is the amount, or regular television, is the number of ads. So I think we're getting a positive impact on maybe how the ads are presented. Maybe there's a new way of doing it. Maybe it looks like the old days where when the show starts, you know, Fred Flintstone comes out and tells you to smoke a pack of Winstons while you're watching it. You know, it's sponsored by somebody.
Yeah, we have been seeing a change in the way advertising works. Have you ever watched the new Hawaii Five-0 on CBS?
I haven't.
It is really an interesting program, but they take out their technology and they have a tutorial on how to use technology in the program. It's like, why is this character saying this to this other character? Oh, my new Nokia phone. Well, if you do it like this, it will change the way you're doing it.
Oh, how odd. It seems like Wayne's World, yeah. the scene where they're eating pizza and having Reeboks, having a Pepsi.
Yeah, product placement has changed the way we use entertainment a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm all for fewer commercials. I do pay for the Hulu with no commercials, and that changed our viewing habits in this household completely.
Well, last weekend, I was watching a show on the new rules for college basketball that's coming up. And college basketball, the presentation of it, is being changed with timeouts. Because what they're trying to do is look to shorten those basketball games. You know, it was the old days, you know, we were dealing with a football game that's 60 minutes long, and you know, half hour for the break for halftime. They're 4-hour events.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to start getting some backlash. If you're a fan watching a basketball game or watching a football or a baseball game, and you've got these timeouts in between to get these commercials in, you're just kind of sitting around. That's a lot of time.
Yeah, baseball's been dealing with this for a couple of years and trying to find a way to speed up that game.
Mm-hmm.
The other exciting news, the other reboot that's coming back, is The Greatest American Hero.
Well, you can enjoy that.
I love The Greatest American Hero. It's one of the reasons why I'm a teacher. This is the story of a superhero, a really poor superhero, not a great superhero, who is a teacher, a male adult who shows children the right things to do and being a superhero at night. I'm all for this.
Well, there is an interesting part to this story. In fact, I never watched the first series, but I knew the story was he found a suit.
Mm-hmm. The aliens gave him the suit.
But he didn't get the instruction manual.
He dropped the instruction manual right after he was handed it in the desert somewhere.
Well,
so
all
right. He doesn't know how to use the suit.
So he uses it poorly,
but he has heart. He wants to do the right thing. He wants to be a superhero, and he's a great teacher, giving his kids the information that they need.
Well, I hope you enjoy this.
I will. I absolutely will.
I won't be watching this.
As long as it has the theme song that everybody
knows. That's a great theme song.
Yeah. Take out a couple of commercials and throw in a theme song. That's my idea.
Well, that's a great theme song. All right, one of the most exciting things that happens right now is when existing technology starts updating. And what we have right now is Google Play has basically added a new comic book reader. Now, they had a comic book reader before that they didn't really feel reflected as well as maybe Comixology, which I would say is such a great presentation tool. In fact, if I had a presentation tool like that for my business where I could present information like the Comixology, it's a far superior product.
It's a great way to read comic books to get the information that you need centered so that you know what to look at.
It goes from it basically takes the reading and goes from balloon to balloon, or from the reading part to the reading part, and focuses you in on getting through that information. In fact, reading books works real well through the Comixology app too. Now, Google, recognizing that, and Kindle also, who has their own reader, they're just not as good. So Google updated their version of that. It's supposed to be a better reader. When I played with it to prepare for this podcast, it still read like a PDF.
Okay.
Which is, listen, how wonderful it is that we can read whatever we want to read through a PDF.
Right.
But it certainly wasn't on the level of Comixology, in my opinion. But they are working on it, which means they can continue to tinker with it.
And in their working on it, they are offering 44 free issues of comic books for you to read through their reader.
Sure.
So it's it's worth it to at least give it a shot.
I do. What I will tell you is that Comixology, what they offered when they launched their app, was every Marvel number one. So they offered, I mean, just a library of books that you could pull from. I looked through their versions. There's only a few things that really had. They said, "Oh, that looks interesting. I would look at that." But you know, I recognize that when Google Play Books first came out, I have a library of books there that I initially picked up that I've never read through their app. Do you read through the Google Play app?
I don't read through the Google Play app. I rely on Kindle for my text. I rely on Comixology for my comics. I rely on Audible for my audiobooks. There's so many competitors.
Well, and how interesting this is. You know, iTunes has their own reader.
Yeah, I have Google Books, and I have iTunes books, and I rely on Kindle. Kindle is the king.
Well, it really is going to be difficult to you know, it's not impossible, but it is going to be difficult for them to break in this place. And it's so interesting that even the big pushers, the big players in this, still have a hard time banging out their you know, their spot in the internet as far as being able to get to this media. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of getting to things, Google has open sourced TensorFlow. That's its artificial intelligence engine. This is the way we've been using Google from the beginning, and Google, in their infinite wisdom, has opened it so that people can make their own AI and maybe share it with Google.
So when you Google, I mean, this is the engine that works on the backbone of all that.
Yes, it is.
And this is what they're saying on one level is, hey, listen, we've got smart people here who like to think about the future, but there's a whole smart group of people in the world, and what could they do with this engine? And if you create it and we like it, we'll add it into our own. Now, on some level, that is not particularly, if you're, that would be like saying to the artist, hey, listen, everybody paint this picture for me and I will buy the one that
I'll
like.
Choose the best one and use the other ones for something else.
Which seems to be not the best part. But you know what? How else can you spur innovation? If everyone has access to it, my hope is we get some good stuff.
Yeah, crowdfunding and schemes like this where we can use the people as the engines for all of these innovations, it's not as bad as you make it sound.
Well, the idea is to accelerate the changes, the betterment for us. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we could just plug them in and use them like the Matrix. You know, the future is full of all sorts of things, and one of those things is definitely going to be automation and robots.
Robots are our future, and not just C-3PO.
Oh, Star Wars, Chip, Star Wars. Bosch is working on a giant robot that can punch weeds to death. Tell me about this one.
This is so odd. But But think about, all right, let's go back 100 years ago. We all worked on the farm. Dad got us up really, really early, and what's our job? Well, it's to go and, you know, pull weeds so we can get the food to grow or whatever it is. So we're pulling our weeds ourselves, and we hate it. It's backbreaking work. Nobody wants to be out in the sun like that. But you know what? We have to eat. So we start looking for alternatives, and we got all these big state universities, big ag programs, and they start saying, well, if you put this fertilizer on it and this weed kill on it, you won't have to do that as much. Well, how wonderful is that? Well, from that, what are we doing? We could pollute some water, things, maybe it's not as good for us. Mm-hmm. You know, so are there things that we can do? Well, we've had this big push to go organic or to be good to the earth and all this other stuff. What are some things we can create? We create a robot. That robot could go out and pull the weeds, or as they determine, why pull them when you can just
obliterate them by punching
them? Just punch them into the ground. So what this big machine does, and if you, we have actually farms not too far from us. You can see these great big tractors out there, massive. massive machines. Think of a great big one that's going over the soybeans or going over whatever it's going over, and it's stopping every time it sees a weed, and it punches that weed.
Pulverizing it.
And so what does that mean? That potentially they don't have to use the weed kill. Mm-hmm. Potentially they don't have to use some of the other things. Maybe they can plan a different way to use the soil better. I mean, we are the breadbasket of the world. There's three of us in the world, Brazil and Russia and the mid part of the North America. So, you know, is there a way we can conserve the soil better or any number of things? Well, how about that? Well, they've created a robot to kill weeds.
There you go. Robots are the answer.
What if they created robots to do other things, Steve?
There are so many possibilities for automation. One thing that we need to be careful about is if the robot can punch something so hard that it pulverizes it, we want to make sure that the robot doesn't do that to us.
Well, what would we need to do to have that happen?
Well, this is such a strange story. There's a German firm that's actually learning what it takes for a robot to hurt a human so that they can teach the robot not to do that.
And this sounds strange.
This is strange.
A German company creates a certain robot to hurt people, huh?
Remember when we said we don't do accents? Yeah. The experimentation. We have a history of Germans and experimentation.
We have a way of hurting you, Mr. Bond.
And this robot is intentionally harming humans in an experimental controlled situation.
And they're agreeing to be hurt and be studied.
Volunteers, and then the volunteers are taken to the infirmary and checked to see how injured they were by this robot.
So let's put this in perspective, because why would you do this? We like to torture people. Now, what we're really looking for, Mr. Bond, is, all right, let's just say that you were in some 50th story building, and the firemen got there, there's a big fire going on, and we can't send the firemen up there. Could we send robots up there to pick the people up, mm-hmm. get them out of there?
RoboCop style.
There you go. Well, maybe we could. Mm-hmm. But what we don't want to have happen is for us to get up there and snap your neck as they try to pick you up and get you wherever you need to go.
Right.
They need to do some tests on how the human body can be carried or a number of things. This is the type of prototype or testing that creates those types of positive uses for the Terminator.
Oh, great. You brought the Terminator right into it. We need to be afraid of Google and the robots. One of the Google robots, the Google car, has driven 1.2 million miles.
Good Google car, good robot car.
It hasn't hurt anybody. It hasn't gotten into an accident that was its fault in 1.2 million miles. It hasn't gotten a ticket. The story this week was one of the Google cars did get pulled over by a police officer who thought that the car was going too slowly for traffic.
Well, that's understandable. Because if you go down the highway in any big city, when you got people running the speed, here I'm doing quotes, the speed limit, but other people who are going another rate of speed that are creating all sorts of challenges. Mm-hmm. So when we get to automated cars, the idea would be that they all work at a constant speed, and since they know each other, or are aware of each other,
they have the ability to communicate with each other,
that we may be able to speed up traffic, even though we may not be going faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe Google cars maybe feel slow and maybe make you anxious when you're in them as a passenger. But the reality is that it could speed up traffic times dramatically. If you're any person driving into the city during any time in Chicago, holy cow.
Yeah, Google has said that they actually intentionally set these cars to only travel at 25 miles an hour. And this is a psychological reason, so that when people are outside of the car seeing it go by, they're not seeing it speeding by.
Okay.
So in a 35 mile an hour zone, a car going 25 miles an hour could be an impediment. And that's what the police officer was thinking, was this was impeding traffic.
And just thinking in the future, there's nothing to say that once you got on the highway, you couldn't speed those things up really, really fast if they're all aware of each other.
This is all a PR move right now.
The future is coming.
Oh, absolutely. And it's amazing. Electric vehicles are a part of that future, and a study shows that we are creating a lot less pollution using those electric cars already.
Well, we're strictly talking about the fossil fuels used, or the fuels that are used to make these things run, mm-hmm. To create the energy. We're not talking about the batteries disposal or into how we end up dealing with that. Mm-hmm. But if you're on the coast, this is equivalent to about 87 miles to a gallon.
That's pretty amazing.
And if you start moving towards the center of the United States, where we're using a lot more fossil fuels, coal and things of that nature, it drops down dramatically, about 36 miles per gallon, which is still very good, mm-hmm. When comparing to many automobiles.
It's still better than my minivan, that's for sure.
What this is definitely showing is we're in this tweener, beautiful stage that we're working towards either higher mileage, or as we talked about in the past, the ability to take your pollution and move it to an area where you can deal with it in one area, as opposed to each individual unit having their own pollution, which we found out was a challenge with Volkswagen, which would be a good example of that right now. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very pleased with this. This is a great feeling. Going back to battery life, as soon as we can get the batteries to be a little bit stronger, they just become such a, I shouldn't call it a no-brainer, but for daily use, for middle America, these could be pretty awesome, especially if you're having Google drive you where you need to go.
Oh, I'm so ready. I am so ready. I am ready for a Google car. We're about 5 years out. We're about 5 years out from the day that the promise of the self-driving car is available at a reasonable price at the dealership.
And the question then becomes, do I go to the grocery store or have the grocery store come to me?
I wish we had a grocery delivery service in our area. We don't. And when I did live in an area with a grocery delivery service, I absolutely let them do the grocery shopping. I could do without going to any grocery store for the rest of my life. I'm just fine with that. I tried to go to Target once, but I missed.
The future is coming.
That's right. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week.
Only if we can come back next week.
I think we can definitely come back next week. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more. You go to our website, toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And give us a call. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. You can find our show on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Find out what's happening in the world. Find out what's important, robots and Star Wars. I think that's all of our news stories. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future.